Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current social, political, economic, prophetic events in the life of Scripture. In short, a program about the doctrines of civil government and the Christian faith. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. The topic for this week is Ukraine and the possibility of a nuclear war. This is not something I'm speculating on. This is what the President of the United States talked about last week at a campaign fundraising event. So to bring us into this topic, here's the news from the Washington Post. Headlines, Biden's scary invocation of nuclear Armageddon. Quote, generally, the right venue to warn that we're facing the biggest threat of Armageddon in 60 years wouldn't seem to be a political fundraiser. But for whatever reason, that's where President Biden on Thursday night decided to offer some of the scariest comments uttered by a U.S. president in decades. Speaking at a Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee event, Biden said that for the first time since the Cuban Missile Crisis, we have a direct threat of the use of nuclear weapons if, in fact, things continue down the path they're going. Well, then Biden went on to say, to quote from his speech from WhiteHouse.gov, let me put it this way. Think about it. We have not faced the prospects of Armageddon since Kennedy and the Cuban Missile Crisis. We've got a guy. I know fairly well. His name is Vladimir Putin. I spent a fair amount of time with him. He's not joking when he talks about the potential of using tactical and nuclear weapons or biological or chemical weapons because his military is, you might say, significantly underperforming. It's part of Russian doctrine. If the motherland is threatened, they'll use whatever force they need, including nuclear weapons. I don't think there's any such thing as the ability to easily loose a tactical nuclear weapon and not end up with Armageddon, so there's a lot at stake. Well, earlier in the speech, Biden said, we have some real difficult decisions to make relative to what's going on in Ukraine, and we're going to continue to support them. And you know, we're trying to figure out what is Putin's off-ramp. Where does he get off? Where does he find a way out? Where does he find himself in a position where he does not only not lose face, but lose significant power within Russia. Unquote, Joe Biden, last week at a Democratic campaign event. Now, a few news commentators have pointed out that the president should never even hint of the prospects of Armageddon. In fact, typical of the world, these people don't understand biblical eschatology. I mean, technically, it's not the prospects of Armageddon, it's the prospects of the apocalypse. The president of France, Macron, said, nuclear war is too delicate a subject to be spoken of carelessly. We must speak with prudence when commenting on such matters. I've always refused to engage in political fiction, and especially when speaking of nuclear weapons. So people weren't very happy that Biden talked about Armageddon. But for most of the left-leaning news media, they didn't make an issue out of Biden's comments. But of course, we know if a Republican was in the White House, the media would blow up over such comments. You know, remember how every foreign policy comment Donald Trump made, the media for weeks would be talking about how the president is going to bring us into nuclear war by his comments. The irony might be that Biden brings us into nuclear war. And as I believe was Mark Twain who said, there's nothing more base than those who wait until they discover the political party of the man making the comments before they decide whether the comments are good or evil. But that's where we are today. It's not about what's true. It's all about political power. So there's a situation in Ukraine. Russia is losing to the Ukrainians, who would have thought, and Russia is being driven out of the territory they recently occupied in Ukraine. Back in September, Russia conducted a ballot referendum in those occupied territories to see if the people wanted to be part of Russia or the Ukraine. This was to give the appearance of democracy and to give Russia some moral authority to take over these regions. Russia reported that the people voted about 90% to join with Russia. And of course, nobody in the West accepted those results. Russian soldiers were forcing people to vote. Putin had a ceremony at the beginning of October officially declaring those regions part of the Russian Federation. Well, since that referendum and the annexing of those territories, the Ukrainian army has begun to take back those regions. Those very regions declared to be officially Russian. So the Russians can now claim that their homeland is being invaded. And the war in Ukraine is really a proxy war between the United States and Russia. Ukraine would not be winning if the United States wasn't giving them financial aid and advanced military weaponry. U.S. smart missiles and U.S. reconnaissance is slaughtering the Russians. And the Russians know this, and they're not happy. Last week, the main bridge was blown up between Russia and Crimea. Crimea is the territory Russia annexed in 2014. And this completely cuts off Crimea from Russia and actually makes it possible for Ukraine to take back Crimea. And 2 weeks ago, the Russian gas pipelines, Nord Stream Pipeline 1 and 2, that brings natural gas from Russia into Europe, was bombed and destroyed, cutting off much of Russia's revenue from sales of natural gas. Although Russia is being blamed, the consensus is that the Ukrainian army did this, maybe with U.S. equipment. Well, of course, in war, the plan is to destroy your enemy's economy. So now Russia is being backed into the corner. And that's why Biden is speaking about the threat of nuclear war. Russia is a proud country, and to avert losing, Russia may resort to nuclear weapons on the battlefield. That's their ace in the hand. Now, the disadvantage of Russia using nuclear weapons is that the United States and NATO have already promised that they will go in and take out all of the Russian military in the region using conventional weapons. The U.S. has a conventional Moab bomb, which has a blast radius equal to the nuclear bombs dropped in Japan. And if Russia uses nuclear weapons, Russia and Putin would become a pariah among the nations. They would be breaking all international agreements. And if Russia used nuclear weapons, the whole thing could escalate into the use of multiple nuclear weapons to prevent NATO's intervention. But the positive for Russia in using nuclear weapons is that they could get NATO to sit down at the table and agree to some Russian demands. Russia could again negotiate from the place of strength and power. I mean, sure, the West could destroy Russia, but at what expense to the West? So the West would much rather give Russia something in exchange for peace. As it is, in a conventional war, Russia loses everything. And if Russia starts losing and uses nuclear weapons on the battlefield, this actually might create some Russian support back home in that the motherland is desperate. So there's a lot of speculation going around, but we do know that it's very likely the Russians are going to lose this war, and the only way they can turn it around is by resorting to their nuclear weapons because their conventional forces are defunct. And it's also very likely, right now, the Russians are looking for an excuse to use the nuclear weapons. Because if they ever use them, they're going to have a pretext by which they can blame the West. So, what are some biblical lessons here? What is God teaching us through this history, through his story? Because God is always trying to teach us something through these world events. We are to look for signs of the time. Well, the first lesson is to be reminded of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. When the world says peace and safety, sudden destruction will come upon them. And the lesson is nobody can really predict the details of the future, but eventually, the future is Judgment Day. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. I again saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, and the battle is not to the warrior, and neither is bread to the wise, nor wealth to the discerning, nor favor to men of ability, for time and chance overtakes them all. Moreover, man does not know his time. Like fish caught in a treacherous net and birds trapped in a snare, so the sons of men are ensnared at an evil time when it suddenly falls on them. The lesson is, the world is always on a knife's edge. We just don't realize it until we have certain news items that threaten our destruction. Some more verses, Proverbs 27:1. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what the day may bring forth. Or James chapter 4, verse 13, yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just like a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. Boasting about what? About what you think the future will be. Luke chapter 12. The rich fool said, I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many, many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared? Or Isaiah 47 verse 10. You felt secure in your wickedness and said, no one sees me. Your wisdom and your knowledge, they have deluded you. For you have said in your heart, I am, and there is no one beside me. But evil will come upon you, which you will not know how to charm away. And disaster will fall upon you, for which you cannot atone. And destruction about which you do not know will come upon you suddenly. The whole Russian-Ukrainian war has been a lesson in the unreliability of the pundits. Even before this war began, the foreign policy experts were predicting that Russia would never invade Ukraine. This was just saber rattling. Logically, Putin had nothing to gain from invading Ukraine. Even Putin himself miscalculated his chances of success. His advisors were all wrong. And even after Russia invaded Ukraine, foreign policy experts were saying Russia would win. And they got that wrong. Last week, I got into a conversation with a friend of mine in the military. And he pointed out that no one in the West realized the corruption and the dysfunction in the Russian military. The Russian army wasn't being modernized or supported because money was being siphoned off all the way down the chain of command. But yet all of these geopolitical experts thought that Russia was the number two military in the world. Why? Because they never did any investigative journalism. They simply relied and repeated what everyone else was saying. These analysts and these pundits don't know what they claim to know. They don't consider all the factors. They don't know all the factors. And that's true in every age and in every situation. The experts are not omniscient. Psalm 33:10, the Lord nullifies the counsel of the nations. He frustrates the plans of the people. Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 26, disaster will come upon disaster and rumor will be added to rumor. They will seek for a vision from the prophet, but the law will be lost from the priest and counsel from the elders. Jeremiah 49:7, the good counsel has been lost from the prudent. Their wisdom has decayed. Isaiah 19:11, the princes of Zoan are mere fools. The advice of Pharaoh's wisest advisors has become stupid. Or how about Job chapter 12? With God are strength and sound wisdom. The misled and the misleader belong to God. He makes counselors walk barefoot. He makes fools of judges. And in Isaiah chapter 41, the prophet Isaiah rebukes the arrogance of the so-called experts, explaining that they cannot predict the future even though they claim to know. Isaiah 41:21, let them, the counselors, the prophets, the pundits, bring forth and declare to us what's going to take place. As far as the former events, declare what they were, that we may consider them and know their outcomes, or announce to us what is coming. In other words, interpret the meaning of past events and tell us what the outcome will be. Verse 23, declare the things that are going to come afterwards, that we may know that you are gods. Instead, do good or evil, that we may anxiously look about us and fear together. In other words, show us that you have the power to change the situation for good or evil. But they can't do that. Then in verse 24, behold, you're of no account, and your works amount to nothing. He who chooses you is an abomination. Down in verse 28, but when I looked, there was no one. And there was no counselor among them who, if I ask, can give an answer. Behold, all of them are false. Their works are worthless. So, as an example, when Germany invaded Czechoslovakia in 1939, nobody predicted that this would be the beginning of World War II. The experts had no idea how events would unfold. There were no prophets in the church saying this is the beginning of World War II. Everyone thought that Hitler would act rationally and logically. It would be insane for him to invade so many countries simultaneously. But remember, sin is never rational or logical. And you know, this inability to predict the future applies also to religious broadcasters. You know, back in the summer, many religious broadcasters were predicting a worldwide famine this fall. It hasn't happened, but they said this was going to happen because they heard Ukraine was the breadbasket of Europe. And they all repeated each other's talking points. But they really didn't know, and they really didn't have any firsthand understanding of how world food markets work. And, you know, the Spirit of God wasn't telling them that there was going to be a famine. I know that because they got it wrong. But they assumed that their own thoughts were the Spirit of God. Just like so many prophetic pundits said Donald Trump would get the next 4 years in the White House. And they all claimed Amos chapter 3, verse 7. Surely the Lord does nothing unless he reveals his secret counsel to his servants, the prophets. Well, sure, God warned Noah of a flood, but the future insight given to God's people doesn't include every single event, only that which has great spiritual impact. I mean, even the Old Testament prophets didn't foretell the names of each subsequent king of Israel or the outcome of every battle. You know, I stopped predicting elections years ago because I'm not a prophet in the Old Testament sense. And there are too many factors determining elections. There's all of this talk of a Republican wave in the November election, but we really don't know. Things could happen between now and Election Day that change the whole mood of the country. So instead, my comfort and advice to the church is that we don't have a need to know. Instead, we need to be doing what we ought to do, regardless of political results. There's no compelling spiritual reason that we need to know certain world events. The general knowledge of the apocalyptic future described in the book of the Revelation and the general knowledge of what you sow, you reap is sufficient. And remember the words of Jesus, which stand in stark contrast with his desire for prophetic insights. Matthew chapter 6, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. But nevertheless, many religious people will still flock to the channels that provide the latest predictions. But you, my brethren, don't be fooled by these false prognosticators. They really don't know what they profess to know. Now, having said all that, that does not mean that this world is safe and secure. A second lesson we're learning, again, from this Ukrainian-Russian war is that the world is always standing on the edge of a precipice. The political leaders have assumed that the world has grown in sophistication and is past that Cold War threat of an all-out nuclear war. But not so. The world is still on a hairpin trigger. The experts thought World War I was the war to end all wars, with modern weapons and all of the carnage in the First World War. The geopolitical experts said Europeans would no longer engage in such warfare. But then came World War II. Given the sinful nature of mankind, the fact that the world has not used a nuclear weapon in the last 77 years has been a miracle. The restraint of God's hand. But it is inevitable that they will be used someday, you know, certainly in the prophesied apocalypse. And there are a number of factors in the present situation that look very bad. Biden is a president that likes to push his weight around and talk tough, and everything he puts his hand to do may fail. Putin is an ideologue who will sacrifice people to ensure a victory and some sort of Russian legacy. And there is currently no one willing among world leaders to sit down at the table and work out a peace agreement between Russia and Ukraine. And that, too, is in the providence of God. Now, we should be aware of these things. And even if we don't know the immediate outcome, we are still to use these events to remind the unsaved that the world in which they have put their hope will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with an intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. You know, 2 Peter 3:10. And Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 13, is it not indeed from the Lord of hosts that the people toil for fire, and the nations grow weary for nothing? Or 1 John 2:17, the world is passing away. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 29, but this I say, brethren, the time has been shortened. And those who buy, as though they did not possess, and those who use the world, as though they did not make full use of it, for the form of this world is passing away. So all these signs we see of coming disaster, even in our own personal life, are meant to turn us back to God. As C.S. Lewis wrote, pain is God's megaphone. And please don't think that you'll be able to escape because you have built a safe house, or you've stored up provisions, or you have a healthy diet. The Bible has a lot to say about what happens to people who think that they can outsmart the judgment, the apocalypse, or any other judgment. When judgment came upon Israel, ancient Israel, the prophet Amos explained that all of the people's plans for safety will fail. In fact, God will make sure that those who plan an escape will meet their judgment. Amos 5:19, you'll escape a lion, but then you're going to meet a bear. And you'll finally get home to that safe house. You will lean on the wall and get bitten by a snake. The only escape is by coming to Christ for salvation, becoming one of his people. For his people, the kingdom people, will be rescued. Daniel chapter 12. Everyone found in God's book will be rescued. And Luke chapter 21, verse 18, Jesus said, not a hair on your head will perish. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The extended video version of this program is on YouTube and Rumble. The website for all of those links is godandcountryradio.org. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your support and prayers. Keep firm in the faith. And don't be swayed by every wind of false doctrine or the prediction of the pundits. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you that we can trust you for the future and that we can rest in your hands, knowing that in Christ we have eternal life. In whose name we pray. Amen.